This week is Parashas Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. The Parash of the Kanoim. Anyone here a Kanoi?
Kanoi?
Mayor, are you a Kanoi?
Kanoi against Kanoi.
You're a Kanoi against Kanoim?
Like that too, right?
Okay, the Parash of the Kanoim, Pinchas, really, the truth is it's really last week's Parasha.
The Israelis
are
ahead of us.
The Israelis are up to Parashas. They're up to Parashas Matos, correct. So the truth is, last week was really the Parashah of the Kanoim, because last week is when the Maisa Kanois happened, and the Bullock. And this week we learn about the lessons of the Kanoim. Now let's. Pinchas, last week, he acted in a very brazen way, where he took the law, he's a vigilante. He took the law into his own hands, and he saw a terrible thing. He saw the Nasi of Shevet Shimon publicly was living with the princess of Midian. And this was a terrible, terrible Chil Hashem. He took the law into his own hands and he executed both of them on the spot without any bezdin, without any trial.
But didn't he ask Moshe?
He did ask Moshe. No, Moshe did not know what to do. Moshe was stunned. Moshe was so shocked. Moshe did not know what to do. So Moshe saw what was happening, and Moshe was just like in shell shocked. So Pinchas said to Moshe, "Moshe, did you not teach us that if such a thing like this ever happens, there's something called kanoim poigimboy? There's such a halacha that you're allowed to get up and you're allowed to go, and there's a breach in Klal Yisrael and such a level, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands and execute them publicly without any bezdin." So Moshe says, "You're right. I forgot. You're right. Being that you are the one who are remembered, the one who reads the letter, so you are mechubed with carrying out the verdict." And indeed, Pinchas went ahead. He publicly executed both of them, and he suffered a lot of criticism. People said, "How dare you? Who do you think you are? Where do you come from? What's your yichus?" And this was the nasi of Klal Yisrael. Maybe he's right. They were challenging Moshe Rabbeinu, "What are you doing?" He suffered quite a bit of criticism, but yet, when all of the dust settled, he was correct. And in this week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to give his seal of approval that everything that was done was correct. Hinani noisein lo yesbrisi shalom v'hoysaloi ulezaroi acharav bris kuhunas oilam. Tachas, why? He stood up for me. He defended Hashem. Tachas, asher kinei lelokah v'yichaper, and he brought atonement to Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll not go through all the details of the story. Now, here's the point I want to make. We have a kanoi, Pinchas, as a zealot. There's another kanoi in Tanakh. Who? Eliyahu Hanavi was also a kanoi. Eliyahu Hanavi, there was a schedule for this week's parasha. Parashas Pinchas always has a haftarah. And the plan was, since we have such a geshmaka kanoi in the parasha, why not be mezaveg the kanoi of the parasha with the kanoi of the Nevi'im? And from all of the prophets, who is the biggest kanoi? Eliyahu wiped out all of the oivdei Habal. He wiped out the hundreds, thousands, who knows how many idolaters there were and people who worshipped the Avodah Zarah. He went and the Maisa with Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. Eliyahu was a kanoi, and in fact he says it in the Pesukim Melachim a few times. I'll read you the Pesukim in a moment. Kanoi konisi, he says to Hashem. Let me actually read the Pesukim right now. What Eliyahu Hanavi says, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, we'll give you the whole pasuk. Vayoymer, he says to Hashem, Kanoi kinesi la Hashem Elokei Tzivokos. Ki ozvu v'rischa, b'nei Yisrael, es mizbechoy secha, yur mizbeach horosu, v'yest nevi'echo horugu v'cherev, Vivaser ani levadi vayvakshu es nafshi lekachta. Now they want to kill me. He says I'm a kanoi, and then he says it again. He says this in Aftara twice. Now, what this was the plan. In fact, Chazal say Eliyahu ze Pinchas. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. The other way around. Pinchas hu Eliyahu. Both ways. They're really the same person. And what that means, I don't know, because they're not the same person. You want to go tell me a Marami Pano that they're a Gilgul, v'chulu, v'chulu. I'm not going down that path. But Chazal say there is a very strong similarity between the Hanhaga of Eliyahu Hanavi and Pinchas of our parsha, Pinchas ze Eliyahu. And therefore Chazal said, you know, it's wonderful that there's no better, easier selection. We can pick in all of the words of the Nevi'im for this week's Haftorah, because the Haftorah always relates to the parsha, other than selecting the sugya of Eliyahu Hanavi. And that was the plan. And that's what it says in every single Chumash, Haftoras Pinchas. The Haftorah for Parshas Pinchas is in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, Pasik Memvav, V'yad Hashem Hoysa El Eliyahu. Hashem's spirit was upon Eliyahu, Vayishanis Mosna, Vayoretz Lefnei Achav, Adboyacha Yisraela. Okay, the story of Eliyahu, his kanos, and how he appoints his successor, Elisha. Wonderful. Beautiful match. What happened? That was the plan. Shabbos, you're going to come to shul, and there's going to be a big, big sign on the door. Haftorah is canceled. Go home. Kiddush club. Haftorah is canceled. It says here, Haftorah Pinchas, you can take this, you can rip it out of the Chumash. Canceled. Why is it canceled? Because this past Sunday, there was a terrible tragedy. Shavasa B'Tamuz. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached. And there's blood flowing in the streets. We're in mourning. There's blood. They're fighting a battle at this moment in time. If you were reenacted, Kufa of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, cancelled. Instead, we're going to read a different Haftorah. We're going to read the first of the Gimel Poranusa, the Haftorah of Yirmiyahu. The first Perek in Yirmiyahu, Divrei, the Yirmiyahu was the prophet that lived in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. He witnessed with his own eyes the events that led up to the Churban. He's witnessed the Churban, and he witnessed the aftermath of the Churban. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min HaKoyanim asher ba'anosos. He was a Koyan when he was in the good days. V'yeretz ben Yamin asher hoyid v'ashem elo b'mei Yoshiyahu ben Amon v'chulu v'chulu. And Hashem speaks to Yirmiyahu and he recruits him to become the Navi. So the Haftorah is cancelled, and instead we're going to focus on the Navi who lived and witnessed the Churban and what he has to say about the Churban. Now before we go further, let's take note. If there's any Navi in all of the Nevi'im that we know about that we can say is the diametric opposite of personality of Pinchas, of Eliyahu HaNavi, it's Yirmiyahu. The most meek and the weakest, the one who needs chizuk, Hashem has to say, Yirmiyah, come on, mechazik yourself. Let's get back into shape. Let's go to the gym. Get you back into shape so you can go weiter and you can suffer the abuse that Klal Yisrael is going to heap upon you so you can give them musar. It is Yirmiyahu. Is Yirmiyahu. Eliyahu did not need to go to the gym. Eliyahu was all of the you know, the superheroes put together. He had no problem in letting Klal Yisrael know what he wanted to say. Kanoi Konisi. Eliyahu, he didn't need Hashem to be mechazekim. He let the Jews have it. He took matters into his own hand. He was a kanoi. Yirmiyahu, he writes, "Vayu'avoymar aho Hashem Elokim hinei lo yodati daber." I don't know what to say. Kinara noichi, I'm a nebuch. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. What do you want from me? Vayem Hashem elai, al toymar nara noichi. Don't talk like that. Ki al kol asher esh lo chacha telech v'eis kol asher atzavecha tadaber. Hashem is mechazikim, nochamol, go through the whole story of Yirmiyahu. There could not be a bigger nebuch than Yirmiyahu, relative to all of the Nevi'im. And there couldn't be a bigger gibor, someone that has way too much confidence, than Eliyahu. You know, it's something you deal with children, teaching the bar mitzvah. There are some children that their mom have no self-confidence. They're petrified of everything. And sometimes you have kids, they have way too much self-confidence. Like, what are you, crazy? What do you really think you can do this? You can't do this. They really think they can do anything. They're Superman. And they have to be taught. You really don't know what you're doing. You have to protect them from themselves. Here we have a contrast of what should have been this week's Haftarah and what has been replaced with. It was originally scheduled to spend money on marketing, advertising. This week is going to be the show of the biggest show in town. Okay? We're going to go to the shul. We're going to read about Eliyahu Hanavi. Kanoi Konisi. Kanoi. Pinchas Eliyahu. We come to shul, canceled. Yirmiyahu. What's the Musar Haskel, Rabbi Yisai? The Musar Haskel is, Golos is not a time for Kanos. Kanoyos is a good thing. It's a good thing. The Torah highlights Kanoyim. Okay, we have Eliyahu Hanavi, we have Pinchas, but there's a time and a place for everything. The fact that we have begun the 3 weeks, there's a cleverness in all of it. You know, it's interesting. We cannot never ever read the Haftarah of Pinchas in Chutz Liaretz. We do very rarely. Okay, very rarely. No, this year they read it. Yeah, this year they read it. This year, last week they read it. Because even Eretz Yisrael is very rare. In America, it's more rare. It's very, very rare to read the Haftorah of Parshas Pinchas. But yet, it's here in the Chumash. It's here in the Chumash, only not to be read. It's here not to be read. Why? To say, listen, the parish is about a kanoi. If you want to elaborate, more of the merrier. Let's talk about another kanoi. But since a terrible event has happened, and the Churban has begun, and now we're in Golos, there's a lesson to learn from that. And that is, in Golos, go easy on the Kanos. Maybe in your mind, like we just finished learning in Micha, in your mind, you have to have Kanos. And your mindset should be Gaiva, should be the desire to accomplish, to be perfect, to achieve. But halacha lemaisa, you're in Golos. Don't get too comfortable in Golos. Don't think in Golos you can flex your muscles, you can do whatever you want. It's a very dangerous world. And just like we don't flex our muscles when it comes to the Goyim, don't be so quick to flex your muscles when it comes to another Jew either. We don't have a structure, we don't have a support system where we can take advantage of the mailos of Kanos. Pinchas is here, Elio is here, that's right, this is what is ideal. But we're in Golos, so you know what, better not read it. Better focus on a different technique, a different approach. Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is a Navi. He speaks at Dvar Hashem. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't scream. He does what Hashem tells him to do. He takes the abuse. In your mind? You can't live like that in your mind. But you have to be careful. This is the Musar of what should have been read and what in actuality is read. Golos is not a time for Kanos. I once told you a word about Nesias Kapayim. Why in Chutz Le'aretz don't we do Birchas Kohanim every single day? It's one of the challenges to Halacha. It's a very big problem. The mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not a mitzvah that's miyuchet to Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim technically applies even in Chutz Le'aretz. So why don't? So there are many, many answers. There's a long list of answers. There were many Gedolei Yisrael that actually tried to reinstitute Birchas Kohanim in Chutz Le'aretz. But one of the reasons we once gave is because the method of doing Birchos Kohanim is how? How do you do Birchos Kohanim? You raise your hands. You raise your hands high. In Galus, in Chutz Liaretz, in America, a Jew doesn't raise his hands high. You don't go like this in America. You don't go like this. You don't pick your hands up high in America and say, here we are, watch out for us. We give the blessings. You don't raise your hands in America. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Nesias Kapayim. In Galus, you raise your heart high. But not your hands. It's not your land. You don't belong here. You're only here temporarily. Don't get carried away in America. Same idea here. Kanos? Ah, Mosuk Midrash. Everyone likes a good kanoi once in a while. But we're in Golos. In Golos, go easy. Go easy on the kanos. You got to wait for the Melech HaMashiach. You have to wait for a different system of authority where it can be properly utilized and dealt with. Okay, let's go to another idea. Parshas Pinchas always is usually the parsha that starts off the Bein HaMitzarim. What is special about Parshas Pinchas that fits into the Bein HaMitzarim? Let's go to Tisha B'Av. What happened on the ninth day of Av? The first item on the list in the Gemara that tells us five terrible tragedies happened on Tisha B'Av. The first tragedy was the Midbar. It was the second year. And the Meraglim were sent to spy Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. They patiently waited for them to return. They come back after 40 days and they issue a slanderous report. Hashem was very upset. And Hashem says, though, because you spoke Lashon Hara and the people rejected my gift, you know what? You're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to go. You are going to have to wait 40 years. Okay, you're going to wait 40 years. You're not going to go in. My plan was, you should enter into the land immediately, but because you have accepted the slanderous report of Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to go into the land immediately. You're going to have to wait. Because of that, we have a Tisha B'Av. Why? Did we end up going into the land? 40 years later, yes. So it took another 40 years. In the big picture of things, what's 40 years? Okay, in the history of Klal Yisrael, it was a delay. So we have to have that in and of itself is worthy. There are five things. But each one in and of itself, Chazal tell us, is worthy of Tisha B'Av. That's the reason why we have to have a Tisha, because there was a delay of 40 years. In world history, there's a delay of things happen a lot more than 40 years. There are delays. So there's a delay. In fact, the delay was not so bad for us. We got to sit in Koil for 40 years. So what's the tragedy? So the answer is, I saw this in Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro, he writes about this at length. He writes, very deep idea. He says, the tragedy is, the original plan was, the people who actually left Egypt, they should be the ones who would come into Eretz Yisrael. They lived as slaves in Egypt. They lost children. They suffered avodas perach. They miraculously left the land. They were taken out of avodim sheyotzu mimitzrayim in the most miraculous way. They received the Torah on Har Sinai. The original goal was that they themselves should enter into Eretz Yisrael. The tragedy wasn't time, 40-year delay. The tragedy was there is a hefsek. There's going to be now two generations together will capture the picture. There's going to be a split. There's going to be one generation who left Mitzrayim and received the Torah, and they come to an end. And there's going to be a new generation who will start off in Egypt, in the desert, and will come into Eretz Yisrael. There's a split. There's a cut. That separation between the Yoytzei Mitzrayim and the Bo'ei HaOretz is a tragedy for Klal Yisrael, a mu'uvas she'enoy yochol liskoy, and you cannot correct. You know, let's just give a very simple example. Everyone knows the example of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went to learn. His wife, Rachel, told him, you have to go learn for 12 years. That was the condition. We got married. The condition was we would become a Talmud Chacham. He went to learn for 12 years. He came back. He was by the door. Eliyahu HaNavi was there in disguise and criticizing Rachel. How could you marry a boy that just leaves you for 12 years, doesn't come back? And Rachel said to Eliyahu, this man in disguise, if it was up to me, I would want him to go back and learn for another 12 years. As soon as Rabbi Akiva heard these words, he immediately made an about face and went back to learn for another 12 years. Everyone knows his fart, so why couldn't he at least say hello? He's already at the door. Say, Rachel, hello, how are you? I haven't seen you in 12 years. How are the children? What's going on? I just heard what you told this fellow. So, see you in another 12 years. Why couldn't he at least go say hello to his wife? And what will the Bali Musar answer? The answer, Einoi Doime, 24 consecutive years, verse 12 times 2. The sum is greater than the parts. The sum is infinitely greater than the parts. The continuity, if he'll stop, have a conversation, this will shatter the continuity. Now, to us, that's like a joke because we don't even know what continuity means. But
the momentum,
the continuity. If the Dor, who were the Yoytzei Mitzrayim, who saw, who remembered, who lived with the experience to be a slave, to take their children, Kol Habein Hayiloid Hayoratash Lichu, and to now experience Bias Haaretz. The effect it would have upon them would be so great when they would raise children in Eretz Yisrael, the hashpa of their chinuch to their next generation would be infinitely more effective. Then, listen, the Zayda died in the desert. We're a new generation. Yeah, we read in the books. We had lectures. It's in the mind. It's all in the mind. Eina doimeh shmiel l'ri'iyah. They came into Eretz Yisrael. Of course, they witnessed miracles. That makes a rich experience of Bias Haaretz. But it's not the same. There's been a separation. The Churban of the Meraglim wasn't just, okay, I'm going to punish you. Yoim l'shana. You accepted Lashon Hara. You're evil. Yoim Lashana, 40 years. It's not just 40 years. It's you're not going. It's going to be your children. But your children never saw, never experienced what it was like to be a slave. They never experienced it. You're not going to have, Klal Yisrael is not going to have a generation that experienced the whole picture, which will be able to fully give over. You're not going to be able to give that over because you're missing an experience. That's the churban of the Meraglim. That's this week's parsha. Sunday began the Bein HaMetzarim. We began the Tekufa of Churban. The Tekufa of Churban, what's the churban rooted in? It's rooted in the separation between, it's all rooted in, go back to the very, every generation you can say the same thing. You can say that you just expand upon this idea. It's rooted in the separation from the previous generation to the next generation. It's not going to be. We're going to have to separate the past from the future, and that is the entire theme of this week's parsha. Moshe Rabbeinu says goodbye. Hashem says to Moshe, "It's time for you to die. You're not going. Your generation is not going into the land. Appoint a successor." Moshe Rabbeinu has to count the entire Klal Yisrael all over again. Why? He just counted them not that long ago. To show the count now is the count, Rashi says, for those, the Bohei Haaretz. We're making a new count, and the people who come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to divide the land based upon this new count, meaning we're going to reject the old number system. The count that we had before, that was for the past. Now we need to establish a new number for the next generation of the Boyaris. We're now officially splitting the old from the new. That is tragic. And that tragedy is something that we reflect upon on the first week of the Bein HaMetzarim. This is how this idea comes into the sixth parasha. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea, I saw this a while ago, and it always lingers in my mind, because it says this Rashi, this appears, in, I think, in three places in the Chumash. I don't even remember where it appears. You probably could figure it out where it appears, but it's not important. The idea, the Shabbos. The idea is, the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha begins, Soror es Hamidyonim Vikisem Oysa. Okay, so what does it mean, Soror? Soror means, not so easy to translate the word, it means to bundle together. That's really the literal translation. What? To bundle, to collect them. In other words, come up with a battle plan. It's very hard to translate. Anyone have an English translation over here in front of you? Sororis Hamidyonim Vikisem Oysam. It can mean tsar. There are many, there are different translations. You know the common one?
You also have the soros. Or the tsar is the enemy. So it's to engage the enemy.
Or you should bring up the tsar, recognize how much pain they've caused you, and now you shall now counter. There are many translations. Or tsar means make a battle plan to collect them all in one group, so when you'll attack, you will conquer them. Rashi here says something very, very interesting on this pasuk. Sarar, kimoi, zochor, shamar. L'shoin hoiveh. It's the present tense. Rashi is telling us grammar, pure grammar. This word is an unusual form of the word, sarar. If you want to find a precedent for the grammatical form of this word, the grammatical form of tsar is, look at the word zochor and the word shamar. Those two words happen to be the words that are in the Aseres HaDibros. Zochor es yoim ha-shabos l'kadoshoi. And in the Aseres HaDibros, the other Dibros, it says Zochor es yom ha-shabos l'kadoshoi. So Rashi is just teaching you grammar. We have here a word soror. You shall engage the enemy in battle. And it doesn't mean the past. It doesn't mean the future. It means now. Right now. Get up. Battlefields. Command. It's a command. In the present tense, just like Hashem gave you a command, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos, Zohar es Yom HaShabbos, Soror es HaMidyonim, engage the enemy in battle. The Midyonim must be eliminated. Battlefields, battle stations, right? Everyone get into your gear, into your armor, in your gear up, get into your tank, and your airplanes, and let's go to battle Soror. Okay? Grammar. However, the Darshan tell us, Rashi didn't just pick two words out of a bag, out of a hat, to express the grammar. If Rashi already is coming to tell you the grammatical form of the word by selecting two different words, and Rashi could have picked hundreds of words to express this form, and Rashi selected these two words, Rashi is trying to tell you something very important. He's trying to teach you about the secret of survival for the Jewish people. If you ask anyone, what is the secret of survival for Klal Yisrael? What are they going to answer you? Shabbos. More than the Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. Who has not heard that expression? It's a halacha. If a person is a Shomer Shabbos, but during the week he's over on every aver in the book, he eats non-kosher, and he's nichshol, and you name it. You name it, he does it. But Shabbos? Shabbos is Shabbos. I don't do melacha on Shabbos. He's a good Jew. He's a shomer Shabbos. He can be, he's accepted to be almost anything. He got problems. This fellow got big problems because he's not too observant during the weekday, but Shabbos, if he is a machalul Shabbos, But when it comes to kosher, there's no home in the whole Flatbush that's more kosher than this fellow's home. There's no that's more meticulous in the laws of ribbis and the laws of anything related to Judaism. He's your man. You want to know about Yados? He wrote the book. Is he observant on Shabbos? What does he do on Shabbos? He goes to work. Goes into his car, drives to work, he turns on the lights, he does malachi, makes telephone calls, he acts like a full-fledged guy on Shabbos. Garnished, zero. Shabbos is the ikar. Okay? Shabbos has preserved Klal Yisrael throughout the Doros. More than the Jew keeps the Shabbos keeps the Jew. Rashi here says there's something else not to forget about. Because unfortunately, there were many Jews who kept Shabbos, but their children, unfortunately, they left, and we don't know where they are now. There's something more to Klal Yisrael. You know what that is? Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Soror es ha-Midyanim. What did the Midyanim do? They entice Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Gilui Aroyos and Avodah Zarah. Very clever. We discussed this week, right? They went, they stood outside, the Jews were passing through the desert, they had shops, and they put outside the shops the ugliest woman you could ever find. She sat in front of the shop and she would say to the young boys that passed by, would you like to buy a new pair of glasses, a nice shirt, a nice tie for Shabbos? So the rabbis, they gave a look at these women that were standing in front of the shop and they said, go to the store. There's no issue here of Shmiras Einayim. No one here has an issue over here. And the technique was, they come, yes, we want to buy a nice tie, a nice shirt, a nice pair of shoes, whatever they want to buy. And they said, but you know we have inside, on sale, half price, something even nicer. Go inside. And you go inside, and who is there? Who is there? A beautiful woman who is dressed in a provocative way and has a conversation with the boy, and one thing leads to another. Avodah Zarah happens, and Gilui Arayos happens. They were very clever, very sophisticated in causing Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Averos, which led to a Magefa, where many people died. Know your enemy. Because of what they did to us, how they caused many people to be nichshol in Gilui Arayos and in Avodah Zarah, there was a Magefa, and many people died. There was a threat to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Hashem says to Moshe, engage them in battle, in war, and wipe them off the face of the earth. Tzoror es ha-midyonim v'hi kisem oysom. And the pasuk is very explicit. Ki tzoyverim heim lochem. They're a very big tzara to you. They're a very big scab. They're a very big source of evil to the Jewish people. B'nichlehem asher niklu lochem al dvarpar, in their attempt to cause you to stumble. And how indeed they succeeded in getting you to stumble regarding the Avodah Zarah called Pa'ar, the Aldavar, and in regard to matters of Gili Arayos, Kazbi, Vas, Nisim, Yonach, Hesam, Mukob, Magiv, the Aldavar, Pa'ar. Rashi says, Tzorar, it's just like Shomar Vizohar. Rashi could have selected many words to teach us the grammatical form of the word. He selected the two words that start off the mitzvah of Shabbos in the Aseres HaDibros, as if to say, if you want to survive in this world as a Klal Yisrael and be around Mekal Pnei Mashiach, it's not just Shabbos. You have to know who your enemy is. You have to watch out for the dangers of what the enemy, what the Umay Sa'olam, what they're presenting in front of us, even whether they realize it or not. Not every, the Goyim today, I don't think they're mamish come, they're not like Midian, they're not coming mamish to get us consciously, but the dangers are out there, and a person has to be very careful not to be nichshol. I wanted to do yesterday, we were doing yesterday, Birch HaShachas, I wanted to tell you this var, now it's a good time to tell you the var, it is from Rabbi Shur Sefer, HaLekach V'HaLivov, Birch HaShachar, the bracha of Shaloi Osani Goy. Every day we make a bracha, Shaloi Osani Goy. Why do we make that bracha? Wouldn't it be better to make the bracha Sheosani Yisrael? So the answer, there are many, many, many answers to that question. But one answer, the answer that he presents in his Sefer, I'm not sure if it's his own idea or he's presenting it from someone else and develops it, but the basic answer he gives there is, turn the question on the other way around. There's another question. Why don't we say Sheosani Yisrael? Why do you have to say it every single day? How many times did Hashem make us a Jew? Once, when we came into this world, Hashem Sheosani Yisrael. We came into this world Sheloi Osani Goy. Every single day, you have to say again and again and again Sheloi Osani Goy. Every single day. So the answer, these two questions answer one another. If the bracha was Sheosani Yisrael, then Ein Hachinami, you would make it once in your life. When you become bar mitzvah, you would say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Sheosani Yisrael. And you're done. How many times do you have to make the bracha? However, the problem is, every single day we live in a non-Jewish world. We are in Golos. We are under the influence of the Umayis Olam, whether we like it or not, even in Eretz Yisrael. And we are affected by them. And every single day we're challenged to be like the Goyim. Every single day the environment, society, just naturally draws us in. If the whole world does this, so why can't we do it? The whole world behaves in a certain way, the whole world dressed in a certain way, the whole world engaged in conduct that is acceptable, so why can't we do the same thing? The Goyim are not foolish. Chochma bo'amim tamim. It's very, very hard. It's a very big challenge. It's not a matter they're trying. They're not trying anything. They're not thinking. It's just a matter of existing in this world. We're influenced by the methods, the umas ha'olam. And it's a challenge. And you need incredible siyata d'shmaya every single day not to be affected by this influence. So if you want to make a bracha she'asani Yisrael, big deal, make it once in your life. But in order not to become a goy, shaloy asani, I should not become a shtickle goy, living in this world, being affected, being surrounded by the shefa of what the Umma Yisraelim have to offer and how easy it is to be affected, that takes a lot of hard work. That's a very, very big struggle. Every single day you have to thank Hashem that you have helped me overcoming the Yetzirah to a degree where I am less of a goy than I would have been without your siyata d'shmaya. Because the influence is overwhelming. The whole world behaves this way, so I also would naturally behave this way. I thank you, Shaloi Osani, that yesterday they didn't affect me to the degree where I gave up already. Shaloi Osani Goy. So that's what's taking place over here. Soror es hamidyonim v'hi kisem oisam. Know your enemy. It's like Zohar v'shamar. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Let's go now to B'nai Slavchad. B'nai Slavchad, we learn about B'nai Slavchad. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu with a complaint that we also want to inherit the land. It's not fair. Why can't we get a chelik in the Vatikravna, B'nai Slavchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Gilad, Ben Moch, Ben Menashe, Ben Meshchos, Ben Ash, Ben Yosef? Lomo Yigora! Shame avinu mitoich mishpachtai ki ein loy bein tenalanu achuzah b'seich ache avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is shocked, did not know what to answer. How could that possibly be? Moshe Rabbeinu did not know what to answer. Vad yakrev Moshe es mishpatan lefnei Hashem. What's going on over here? What exactly do they want? They want land. They want to become wealthy. Okay, that's a pashup shot. Okay. But the Torah says, The Torah says that Nashim, okay, we don't live in this society today, so it's very, very hard for us to relate to this. Okay, many people, many Dayanim are busy the whole day with writing Shtaros that the women should get a living will, that the girls should get just as much as the boys, because we live in a different society, so it's hard for us to relate to. But that was society. Nashim got nothing. B'makom sheyesh bein, ein lebas kolum, garnished. So what difference does it make if you have a brother or you don't have a brother? If you had a brother, you had one brother, would you come to Moshe to complain? No. So now that you don't have a brother, you're coming to complain. Why? A woman should know her place. You know, I just said that, right? Well, what's going on over here? It wasn't meant to be for you. Anyway. So all of a sudden, now you want? So why you? How come the other women out there in the world who do have brothers, how come they are not coming to complain? You don't find other nashim. We don't know, maybe they did come and the Torah doesn't tell us. You don't find in the Torah giving us a section where there were women who had brothers and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, it's not fair. Why only should they get a Yerusha, not us? We also want a Yerusha. How come Torah, there were no women who complained? Mestama, there were people who complained. Moshe said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. This is what it says in the Torah. It says, "Makom sheyesh bein ein lebas kolum." You get zero. I'm sorry, I can't help you. That's what it means to be an Orthodox Jew. You don't understand it? There are things I don't understand. That's what it is. There comes a point in time, you're nice, but there's always going to be a bottom line where you can't cross the red line. That's what it comes down to. Amun in the Torah. Whether if you're a maimon or you're not a maimon. V'zehu. That's how it goes. So if the other women didn't complain because they were maminim, so why are they complaining? It was not meant to be for them. It was nothing meant to be for them. Now that there's no brother you have to get. So there's a very critical word here in the post. Now there's a very critical word, and there's a very critical chazal which really changes everything. And that is, Lama Yigora Shem Avinu, our father. And Rashi says, they presented an argument of Yibum. If we count for nothing, we don't exist, then our mother should perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Because when a person dies and there are no children, and there are no children, then the mitzvah halacha is that the brother-in-law is a mitzvah to marry the wife. And how does the Torah describe the mitzvah of Yibum? What is the purpose? Now, what I'm saying is a little bit, it's not necessarily the Pashup Shah and the Pasik, because you have to read the Pasik, how the Pasik, Rashi, the Chazal learned the Pasik, but you cannot deny Chazal also interpreted in this fashion. It's not the Pshuta Shol Mikra, so I want to get it on record straight. It's not Shol Mikra, but you have to appreciate V'hoyo HaBechor, the purpose of getting married, of doing Yibum, is to have a child. Okay, and it's not the Pshuta Shol Mikra. But this is there's no question, this is a chelik of the mitzvah. A man dies, has no children. Along comes the brother. He marries the almana. And they have a child. V'hoya b'char, asher teled. Yokum al shem achiv hames. He will now preserve the legacy of the person who died. V'lo yimache shemoy mi Yisrael. His name should not be wiped out. His name should not be just never existed. By the brother marrying the almana and having a child and naming that child after the deceased and giving him the Yerusha, oh, that preserves the legacy. The Binoy Salafchad were not here for the money. It's hard to believe such a thing, right? It's really hard to believe. How do you know it wasn't there for the money? Because why only then? If it's about the money, every single woman in Klal Yisrael should have come forward to fight. It was about our father needs a legacy. And you know something, Moshe Rabbeinu? We don't want the money. Gesunte hate. Take all the money. But let our mother marry Duyibum. Let who's going to be Miyavim, our mother, and let our mother have a child with someone else, and that person will carry on the legacy of our father, and he'll get the Yerusha, Gesunde hate. It was a selfless act. It's not about the money. It's about the lo yimachesh shemoi b'Yisrael. We have a father. The halacha is not allowing our mother to do yibum, because our mother died with daughters. So if you have daughters, there's no mitzvah of yibum. So what does that mean? It means that our father does not have a legacy, because daughters do not count in the Torah as a legacy. That's what it says. So our father's legacy is gone. That's not fair. Monofshach, let our mother marry the brother, his brother, and that way he will put that way, because only the brother can preserve the legacy. He'll have a child and will preserve the legacy. And if that's not the case, then we have to preserve his legacy. And the only way we can preserve his legacy is we need his assets, because his assets will carry on his legacy as a person, not to go to Birusha, to his brother or to his father or to another part of the family. We will preserve the legacy. So it's not like it seems. It seems like it's a selfish. They're selfish. They want money. It's not true. Cannot possibly they want money. The fact they say Shema Avinu, the fact that they mean Yibum, the fact that the other women of the world are not coming to fight for rights is a clear indication. These three things together, the Chut HaMeshulash, these three, the combination of these three elements clearly show they are acting L'Shem Shemayim. And now this answers the fourth question. Why didn't Moshe know the answer? So let me ask you another question. Answer this question with a question. Did Adam HaRishon appreciate the mitzvah of Kibud Avoim? Impossible. There's no way Adam HaRishon can fully appreciate the mitzvah. Adam HaRishon is the greatest of the great. He is the Yitzir Kapov. He is the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But Adam HaRishon did not have a father. Did not have a mother. Adam HaRishon does not know what it means. He can't relate to it. He cannot relate to the mitzvah because he did not have parents. It's just impossible. Moshe Rabbeinu has a father. Who's the father of Moshe Rabbeinu? Amram. Amram had three children: Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. Does Aaron have a legacy in this world? He sure does. Aaron, forget about Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron is his legacy. All of Aaron's children. Miriam, married to Kalev ben Yefune, and all of their children have a legacy. Moshe has his own children as a legacy. So Amram has a legacy. Moshe, you don't get it. Moshe, you cannot answer this question. You know why? Because Moshe, you don't understand. You have a father, and your father has a legacy. If the question was about money, then Moshe can relate, because Moshe said, "Lo chamor echad mehem nosasi." I didn't take from you a dime, a nickel. I didn't take from you one rotten penny. Moshe Rabbeinu knows what it means to have money. Moshe Rabbeinu is a human being. Moshe relates to money. He knows cash is king. Moshe knows those three words. He fully gets it in every sense of the word. He said it. I know what money is, and I was in the Nisai, and I didn't take from you the money. Hashem gave him money. Psalus is yours. But if the B'nai Salafchad came to Moshe, Moshe, we also want money. We also want, it's not fair, then in a chanami, then you have an issue. But being that Moshe, it wasn't about money, it was about legacy for our father. Moshe cannot possibly relate to this, because Moshe Rabbeinu has a father, Amram, who has the most beautiful legacy that can exist in this world. He has Moshe's grandchildren, and he has Aaron, and he has Miriam. Moshe, you totally don't relate to this. You are like Adam HaRishon, who doesn't have a father. And Moshe Taka says, you're right. I can't pasken this shayla. I'm no geir b'dover. Vayakriv Moshe's mishpatan lefnei Hashem is not a matter that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. It's much more than I don't know the answer. Maybe Moshe did know the answer. Moshe is saying, I cannot be the one who is going to paskin on this shayla because I am not in this inyan. When you paskin on certain shaylas, you have to be able to relate to the shayla. And if you cannot relate to the shayla, even though you may know the book, the rules, I can read what it says in Shulchan Aruch, I can read the rules. But there's always nuances that you have to have experience to express. You know, if you learn Shulchan Aruch and you have no shimush, okay, you learn Shulchan Aruch, you learn Yerodeah, and you know you go through the whole Yerodeah, and you know every single Prima Gadim inside out, every Shachan Taz, and every Beis Meir, and every Rabbi Kiva Eger, and you ace your exams, and now they put you in a Beis Din, and now the Shilas come in. You are finished. You won't last a day. Because the world of reality is not the world of Shulchan Aruch. Okay? You need shimush. You need to be able to relate to what is going on. It's not just a matter of what it says in the books. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Slavchad, I know what it says. I know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I know all the laws. However, it's not for me to paskin. Because I don't relate to this matter. Now let's go from, okay, let's go to another drush, quick drush, before we wind down. Okay, let me wind down very quickly. What was the...
The Levim didn't get any. Have a legacy.
They did have a legacy. Legacy is not just land. Okay, legacy is more than land. We'll talk about it later on. Let's just finish over here. Over here we have Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parasha was told by very sad news in this week's parasha. Moshe was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to die, and you have to now appoint a successor. What was the last thing he did before he was given this information, the sad news? Which really, to a certain degree, was Moshe was being defined. The last thing was, Vayakriv Moshe's Mishpatan Lefnei Hashem, was the Bnei Salafra. And after the story of Bnei Salafchad comes the bad news, Moshe, you're going to die, you're not going in, appoint a successor. And that is always something very significant about the last thing. The last. It's not, Moshe's not over yet. Moshe has still a few parashios to go. Okay, there's a lot of things that Moshe Rabbeinu is his farewell. A long way to go. But yet, there's a lot of significance in this, is what Moshe does. The last definition of the leader of Moshe before he basically begins his farewell. Mikanu lahaba, after this, Moshe Rabbeinu is in transition mode. It's like when you have a new president, Lahavdil, and they win the election, there's a transition team. Transition team is in work to go from this administration to the next administration. This Bnei Slavchad is the last item of Moshe Rabbeinu's administration, the last legislation, the last executive order, his last participation, his last thing that he does before the transition team is assembled and everything now is viewed as preparation for the next leader. Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpatan. So there's a fascinating word. I saw this in the Sifkel Beis Av. The person was Nifter, he's a son, he wrote over the Verlach from his father. I don't know the name of who the person is, but he says there, the word Mishpatan is a very strange expression. It's a Mishpat. What's Mishpatan? Mishpat Nun. So he breaks it up into two words. Vayakriv Moshe es Mishpat, the Mishpat of the Nun. And in fact, there's a big letter Nun in the Torah. Mishpat Nun. What is Nun? Every single day we say in Ashrei. Ashrei has all the letters of the Aleph Beis, with the exception of one letter. What letter is missing in the Aleph Beis? The letter Nun. Why is the letter Nun missing? Because Nun represents Neufel, the people who fall down. And that's why in the next letter, Samach, the Pasuk is Soimeich Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim. Hashem picks up all of the Neiflim. The letter Nun is missing. What was the Mahus of Moshe Rabbeinu? He was a person. The last thing we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu before he goes in transition mode is the Mahus of Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayakrev is Mishpat the Neiflim. the Nun, the big Nun, he was the defender of all the people who no one's there to protect. There are people in society who are abused, who are crushed, who fail in life. There are neuflim all over the place. There are people who are sinners. There are people who no one cares about. Neuflim. All different types of neuflim. Neuflim with a capital Nun. All different types of neuflim. The mahus of Moshe is vayakriv Moshe es mishpat. He's toiveya from the Ribbon Shel Olam, the mishpat, justice for the neuflim. This is the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the last act of pure Moshe. Before Moshe goes into transition mode, before he assembles his transition team and puts into motion last bits of his administration, what needs to be done, is pure Moshe. This is him. He's there to take care of those people that no one could care less about. You know, they says there are Belsky, Zichron Levracha, by the Hespedim, they said that Mamish, he took care of the underdog, the people that no one, you know, people that no one fought for, people that he felt were abused, he stood up for with a ferocity. Just because this guy's a poor schlep, he doesn't have rights, he has to be abused, take advantage of him? How dare you? The halacha is on his side. Who do you think you are to step on this poor guy? That was Moshe, the mishpat of the Nun. All right, I think it's a little bit late, so I think maybe better quit while we're ahead.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
I sent you a photo.
To bring together. Don't have two sisters. Don't marry.
Yeah.
So Tzorah is saying, different translation means bring them all. Don't let anyone get away. Don't let anyone get away. Make sure you pack them all. You bring them into one bundle and you wipe them all out. No survivors. Don't take any survivors. Get all gone. All gone. I have some book. No, I want to go for you.
The Democratic Party is supposed to be for the
Us is the problem. It was, I don't know, it's called policy.
No, that was original.